And we are live.
Yay.
Everyone in a new spontaneous conversations, the first one of this year, of the year 2022. Wow, I had to think about the number. And it's episode 15, today with a wonderful person who's on the other side of the planet. So, Teresa, please introduce yourself.
Oh, wow, okay.
Hey, so my audience doesn't know you, so I will introduce myself afterwards so that your audience also knows, like, who's that guy?
So my name is Arasa. Yes, I'm all about playfulness and finding ways to make whatever we are doing more fun and more spontaneous, since this is a spontaneous conversation. Sometimes we are too caught up in our thoughts and the way we do things, we forget the spontaneity and the playfulness. So this is what I'm all about, and all my search, even when I'm on my own, mostly when I'm on my own, it's all about how can I make this more fun for me? How can I engage more with this, no? So this is who I am. I'm all about playfulness.
Playfulness, and how do you translate that into, most people are asking, okay, how do you earn your life? How do you earn money? How do you translate that into your
Okay. Work? So I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners, and I help them find that spontaneity and that joyful living within themselves in their work and in their life. So the way they live their life, but also they build their business. I also organize a festival called the International Playfulness Festival of Playful Fest. It's gonna be later on this year. What else? I coach young adults through the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. And that's how it translates. Also, of course, I am a performance artist and a visual artist. I paint and I perform. And that's where I found from my, I train in physical theater, comicity, physical theater, yes. And that's where I translated from all I learned in theater and to be spontaneous on a stage and to be in the moment and to be there, because the theater I do, it's very much, it's not improvisation, but it's very much being in the moment so that you can react to the audience. So what I did was translate all the exercises that we do to create shows into, like, how can I make them digestible for normal life, for real life, for our lives.
Beautiful. That's a very important aspect. I was having a talk with a very close friend of mine this morning, and she's also working on something new, and she's actually making it very tangible and useful for people, because a lot of people that tend to talk in theory and it's all up there, but if you're not up there yourself, then you're like, yeah, but I'm down here and I have a problem with this and I have that issue. And yeah, then people don't get to implement it. And for me, that's so important. That's why I started working also on grounding and helping people to get back in their bodies first, not to go spiritual being up there. I will never forget that a workshop was started. And the first thing the guy said, it was a breakthrough workshop, so spiritual, blah, blah, blah. He says, we're not going to be spiritual this weekend. And people were like, huh? But I came to be very spiritual. No spiritual. We're going to be here, on earth, in our bodies. And later it became clear. I mean, it was amazing. And that stuck with me. And I'm using that. Also, when I meditate, I want to do guided meditations, all of us coming back in the body and really feeling. And,
sometimes we have this idea of what a spiritual life looks like, and
flying away,
we stay here, like flying inside our head or around. But actually, the most spiritual experiences we have, it's when we are in our body, because we are completely in the moment And that's why playful, mindful play, which is playfulness, gives us a spiritual experience. Yeah. In our body. So yeah, and I want to say in those lines, I'm just looking at my puppies because they took my sorry, one moment, let's be playful. they took my thank you, baby. They took my sandals and they are puppies, so they are
they are
chewing on them and I don't want them to eat them. So I did a 2 months meditation retreat and then I did 1 year more. And I remember that we used to dress normally, we used to go out normally, you know, everything was normal. And I used to be like the Buddhist. I used to see the Buddhists, you know, how they dress all red and, you know, and I used to tell my teacher, oh my God, all this meditation I'm doing, all these hours I'm doing, and I'm just, how can people know? How can people know all this sacrificing I'm doing, you know? They recognize the Buddhist, but how are they going to recognize me, you know? And she told me similar. It, like, it doesn't matter it because it's your experience what matters. It's being inside yourself. It's your intention what matters. It doesn't matter who recognizes you or not. And sometimes, and this was so key because we need to forget somehow about others to find our spiritual awakening, isn't it? Or to find more joy, to find more playfulness, we need to forget about how it looks like, how it should look like, and who cares, who sees, who recognizes what you are doing, you know? As long as you recognize it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a society thing that it's all about reputation and having certain standards and following certain patterns. And I was in a session yesterday for myself, so with another coach, and we talked about having a diploma or not, a certificate. Yeah. Doesn't matter which kind of certificate, but we're so brainwashed that in order to be valued, in order to be allowed to do something, you need to have a certificate for it. And I'm like, how the hell do you get a certificate for being intuitive, for being able to feel and knowing in the moment what to do? There is no real certificate for that. Yes, you can say I was to school for so many years with a certain blah, blah, blah master, but you cannot certify on that. And that is something I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs, including myself, struggling with that, how to market yourself or having this unconscious or subconscious insecurity, like, okay, I don't have these papers, so I cannot put these titles, and how will people actually know that I'm good? Or you get all these stories that are not our own, because I know I'm very good. Everyone I've worked with told me, wow, you're great. So, but the story is still there.
Yeah.
It starts from youth, from a teacher saying something or a parent or, and the funny thing is, even in my ancestral line, I have both sides. So my mom's side was the educated and her philosophy was primary school, secondary school, university. Then you have a good job, then you get married, then you have children. That is life. From my father's side, because of circumstance, he could not finish his secondary school because there was no money, because his father had died and his grandfather, who was taking care of him, also died.
Okay.
So he had to go to work. So he was the rebellion, and all his brothers and sisters all studied and studied and studied and studied, and he just started working. And in the end, he did get as high as you could get within the ministry because of learning on the job. And I followed actually that path too. Didn't get my second secondary school degree. And I just started working because I was done with school. And it was a talk I had with my father at a certain moment who gave me the self-confidence, like, I can do it actually. He did it. So why can I not succeed? And in the end, I got jobs where normally people would only be hired if they had diplomas, PhDs, whatever. but I just got there maybe the long way, but because I could do the thing, because I learned things, and it was more about my qualities, not what I had learned. So yeah. What I really had within me, that made me ideal for the job, and other things I could learn on the spot, or have colleagues who would solve those things for me. And the same is with coaching, for example. There are a lot of people, I see a lot of posts about John Maxwell this, and everyone has John Maxwell certified here in Romania now. I'm like, okay, if everyone is John Maxwell certified, so why are there still clients? If everyone already had done all the work and all had these labels, but it's not about the labels, because I know plenty of people have certificates and labels and whatever, and they don't know how to do the work really. You see themselves struggling in their own lives because they're not connected from here. They're up here.
I don't think the certificates are the problem. Some people like to study and get certificates.
No,
and
but
some
put
people
the focus
don't.
There. No, but put the focus there. I'm not saying the certificate is the problem, but I know people have certificates are good, but making that the proof is in the end what you actually do. And the proof is what you live yourself, like you say, leading by example.
Yeah, definitely living by example. I think it's about the curiosity, to have this curiosity, which playfulness gives you, is to have this curiosity of like, what else can I learn on my own? Because when we go to school, when we go to university, when we go to do a course, they teach us certain things, like theory. Even if you go to do practices, that's where it's just to a point, if you don't have the curiosity to keep learning, to keep investigating, to keep discovering the infinity that life gives us, that's when you can teach others from your own experience. But I think the certificate, it's not bad. It's more like if we lose the curiosity to keep learning in the field, on the field. That's the difference, to learn on the field.
And adapting what you've learned to your own being and to your circumstances, to the situation. And that is what I mean, where people sometimes are too rigid. And the playfulness is also what I call the improvisation. When I teach, for example, grounding, a grounding course, I let people practice different ways of grounding. And then I give them a week to go and practice and find out their own way, their unique way of doing it. Because the way I'm doing it may not work for them, but I can inspire them so that they can find their way. And the first time I did that, when everyone came back, it was amazing because each of them had found his own unique way of doing it, and it was working perfectly for them. And I actually learned from them, from how they fine-tuned it to their own needs. And that is really living. That is listening to your body, listening to your needs, listening to your heart. And the playfulness, I believe, is possible if you don't do that.
Oh, I lost you there. I'm sorry. I lost the last part.
Who was squeezing up. So I was saying that it's about the integration and connecting with the self.
Yeah.
And from there, we can create the beauty. From there, we can find the joy. From there comes the playfulness, because the playfulness is not something you can learn in a course. And like, you do these steps, and then you're playful. It needs to come from within.
Yeah, you can teach people how to connect to their playful side, for sure. Yes. And then whatever way it comes through, or they express it, it's their way. It's their unique way, you know? Oh, okay, I'm back. It's their unique way to express themselves, to express their inner play, you know, the inner joy. But you can definitely help people to release their blocks, to be more playful. Yeah. And you can teach them to be more playful. I think what you cannot teach them is how to express and how to feel that playfulness. Yeah. that's unique from everyone. But yes, I agree. I think it's important to integrate what we believe in, because then we see the results in ourselves, but also we see how it develops, the process of developing a more joyful life. We can experience it within oneself.
Yes, and that is a constant thing. I mean, it doesn't stop. It's continuous.
Yeah.
The transformation, the learning, the having new experience, integrating that, and then evolving. And I believe that is what life is about. And we have that in all areas. Yeah. I mean,
I also want to say that sometimes. Internet, it's not very good today. The day we spoke, it was good, but today it's the internet.
No, but I can hear you. So the image may freeze. So just keep talking. It's fine. Because we can perfectly hear you.
Okay, great. I want to add that sometimes when people hear playfulness or joy or, you know, like all of the spontaneity, you know, they have an idea like playfulness, or maybe I will be jumping all day and I will be happy all day. And it's not. No, sometimes the most playful thing to do is lie down and sleep. And that's also being playful, being at play. It's not the play as we imagine, oh, I need to be happy all the time, playing like children. It's also that, but it's also understanding that sometimes playing or being playful, it looks like just sitting and doing nothing. Because that's part of if we were playing like children, probably that's also will be a part of it. You know, that's part of life. So sometimes I am a very optimistic and upbeat person, and I can do many things at the time, and I can dance while I do them. And sometimes I just want to sit, and that's playful. Just want to sit and look up at the horizon, and that's the most playful thing I do in that moment, because it's recharging me, it's giving me space to reflect. It's giving me a space to relax, to give my body some digestion time before I move to more upbeat. So life, it's made with so many different kind of energies, and we forget that all of the energy, we can be playful in all of the energies, using all of the energies.
Yeah, lately I don't know if that counts as being playful, but I allow whatever I'm feeling to be there. So even if it's sadness that comes up because I see something that touches something in me and that reminds me of a moment or so, I just let it be. And by not fighting it, it can flow. So it also doesn't stay.
Yeah.
So after that, I can be in a different frequency again. It doesn't mean that I was depressed or whatever. No, just that it was an emotional thing that I saw happening, and that's okay. Or when I feel the need to cry, I just let it be. Or when I see somebody who needs to cry, I'm like, and they're like, oh, sorry. No, don't stop it. Let it out. Let it flow.
Yeah.
So that's free again.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, exactly, because
stuck in us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Because when we allow ourselves to feel our emotions, then we have more space, isn't it, within ourselves. It's kind of like this thing here just left, you know, like I just let it go so I can be, so then I can be more playful because I feel more lighter, you know. So, yes, so I agree with you. When we feel our emotions, we have more space to be ourselves. Playfulness, being more at play. At the end, it's about discovering how it's giving ourselves permission to be more of ourselves. But we don't know who we are because we have so many levels, so many judgments, so many things that we were told to do in a certain way. So we have all of these preconceived ideas of who I am, that were put probably by our parents, by our school, by our society. And being and playfulness give us that of like, is this judgment mine? No, it's not. So how can I let it go so I can be more playful, more out, more me? That's how I see playfulness. It's like this opportunity to be more me. But to do that, I need to feel the sadness of, for example, feeling abandoned at my childhood, or that my friend stopped talking to me and I felt hurt, or that my dad didn't call me, you know, like when we were gonna go eat ice cream. I need to allow myself to feel that sadness so I can be like, I can accept what happened and then I can be more playful. I don't know. Can you hear that noise? There is someone making a noise. The neighbors are doing, making, no? Okay, good.
Just hear okay. The birds sometimes.
Okay, good. So yes, I agree with you that it's important to feel whatever we are feeling, because then we just realize the judgments and the ideas we have and we can let them go. Yeah. And then we can be more playful.
I feel it's very connected to being free. And even when you see the playfulness as somebody who's moving like this, you cannot move like this if you're carrying a lot of heavy weight on your shoulders. All the emotions you didn't let out, all the grudges against people or things. So what we just discussed about letting the emotions be and letting them flow is allowing us to be light. And the lighter we are, the more easy it is to dance and to jump. As a way of describing playfulness, and that also within us. I know I've had years where I was like bloody serious, but it was because I had accumulated so much stuff in me that, yeah, and I also looked older and I didn't look good. I mean, I looked at myself, I was like, oh, I'm ugly. But it was because of all that stuff I had accumulated. And the last decade or so, I have been releasing and releasing and releasing. And I posted yesterday a picture because I came, I don't know how. Yeah, I was cleaning up in my computer and I found a folder with an old picture. And I put that in the folder where it belonged. And there I saw a picture of me of 2006. And I looked at the picture, I was like, huh? And I put it next to a picture of today. And actually I posted it and like this. 16 years in between, but what's the difference? From the outside, not much. Yeah, a few white hair here and there. But the change is on the inside. But I don't look much older because I've released all that crap. And yeah. I can see how, even if, let's say, my life is not perfect as I would have wanted it to be, but I wouldn't want to go back to any period in my past because of how I feel today on the inside, because of all the inner work, because of the release and of the lightness. And so I can be more playful in my daily life with things. I'm actually drawing again by hand, even. I hadn't done that for close to 25-30 years.
Okay.
And I'm doing that again. I'm also doing it digitally, that I play with pictures, and people sometimes don't even notice that the pictures on my website for, let's say, for a workshop or something like that, that I spend 2-3 hours on them, because I combine a lot of different things, clean them out, and I let's say there is a window, I clean out the window and I put a new background myself behind it, so there's a new view, just like I did with the picture of you on the announcement on the thumbnail. I took a picture from you, I took out the background, and then I put new background, because that background was somewhere indoor, and I was like, yeah, you're going to be outdoor in the jungle, beautiful nature, so let's put that there. And this is creativity that's only possible when there's space within for something new to come up.
Yes. Yes, I think you have said something very important, and it's like we have so much weight from the same judgment, the same ideas, from taking life too seriously. But we take life too seriously because we really want to be good. We want to be good. We want to do good. You know, society tells us go to school, and we want to do. You know, we go to school. Some of us, I was rubbish at school, but some of us, we want to do good at school. And then because we don't do a good at school, we're like, oh my God, I'm so bad. I'm such a bad person because I don't do good at school. So when we are adults, like around 20, I judge myself so much because I wasn't good. I was good at math, but the rest, I wasn't good at school. And then, so we have so much, then I studied philosophy and everyone was telling me, what are you gonna work on with philosophy? So, you know, like all these judgments, by 20, I was like, what? I don't know about life. So I understand what you are saying, that you feel so much weight because we have all this weight of wanting to make good at everything in life, but finding that the expectations of society really forget that we are humans and that we have our own way to do things. Sorry, you want to say something?
No, I was doing everything really well, structured and organized.
Yeah.
You were the good.
But we don't have...
You said doing good. What crossed my mind is, I want to feel good. Not to do good, but to feel good first.
Yeah, but I think this is an understanding we gain with time, you know? Because, well, maybe for you it's different, but for me, I wanted my mom to love me. I wanted my family to like me. I wanted my friends to want to be with me. And I had these ideas of like, oh, but to do that, I need to be good at school. I need to behave, whatever that means, behave well. I need to be good with my friends. And we don't have this space to experiment. But who really I am? What do I really want to do? Can I express love to my friends without sacrificing who I am? You know, we don't have this space. But then when we start releasing, and you said yourself, when you started releasing these ideas, then you find out that you want to paint, and you find out that you can do a poster that's very imaginative instead of what they told you have to do. And sometimes they never tell us anything. We just have these ideas that we have to do things in a certain way, because that's how it's supposed to do. But I have found that the more I am myself, the more people love me, because I'm giving them permission to be themselves also. But at the same time, they can see that I come from a very pure place within myself. So I'm being myself, not because I want to damage anyone, but because this is who I am. So, but to do that, it's a process. It takes releasing. And sometimes I'm so tired of releasing. I'm like, I said to the universe, I want to take a break. I don't need to learn everything. Yeah, I want a break. I don't want to learn lessons from everything I do. I just want to do things and I want to be okay with that. And this is playful. So I think there is the playfulness of like, I'm just gonna enjoy who I am, and there is the playfulness of, what do I need to release today? Yeah, you know? But it's, yes, beautiful. I agree. And it's a process. It's a life process. Right now, for example, since I'm here in this island, I have been going back to my childhood, because I grew up in the Caribbean, so I have the opportunity to go back to my childhood. But to do that, I had to be ready. I could have not gone to the places I go 1 year ago. 1 year ago, I was ready. 2 years, I asked for this just so that you know how it works for me, in case some of your listeners resonate. 2 years ago, I asked for my healing. I asked, like, I want to heal this part of me. Oh, sorry. I want to release this part of me. That
yeah, you're releasing life. It's fine. Just release.
I'm releasing everything. Talking about releasing, it's like, blink. I want to release this part of me that's not happy with where I grew up. And it started 2 years ago when I went to Thailand because I wasn't ready to come to the Caribbean. I went to Thailand because I really needed that connection with the sea and with the seaside that's warm and that's different, yeah, from Scotland where I normally live. And then it's 2 years down the line. Now today I'm in the Caribbean and I'm releasing very hard stuff. You know, I was releasing very hard stuff. And this is how it works. Sometimes we are not ready. Sometimes the process of being more playful. And today, and this week, actually, my friends, they tell me, I never seen you so happy. Because I did such hard work. I released so much stuff. Then now I feel like, oh, I can be, you know, I can be more myself. But it has been, it's a process. I hope it makes sense what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize it. I mean, you talking and I see all these images from what you're describing, but also what I experienced when I was in the Caribbean, for example, for a 10-day trip, which was a healing trip that I organized with some friends, and crazy stuff happened there. I mean, like super dark, and then all the light came. But to come back on a few things that you said, because I connected some dots. So I broke out of the whole curfew thing when I left home at the age of 21. I was raised in Tunisia because my father is from there, my mom was Dutch, and I went back to Holland. And so the whole family of my father's side was far away. And the family of my mom's side was also not all close by. So I had a lot of freedom suddenly. And I chose to stay away from everyone that knew me so I could actually be really free, not to have to follow all those rules. And I started breaking all the rules that I had been taught.
And okay.
I realized that that is why certain people leave home very young. Lost connection there for a moment. I was saying about me leaving even the country and leaving half of the family behind and staying away from the other family because I had my mom's family in Holland. I was free to do a lot. I had my own room in a student complex. I had all the freedom suddenly to do whatever I wanted and to break all the rules that I had been taught. And I literally broke them all. Just
okay.
Breaking them, just not to be imprisoned anymore. And I realized that this is why certain people leave home very young, because they feel so suffocated. And then they say because they have a bad relationship with the parent or so, but it's not about the fight they're having, it's about the suffocation, because they cannot be themselves anymore. So they need to go somewhere else to be able to breathe. And the second thing you said about, because you are yourself now, because you're authentic, you have more friends. I used to have a lot of friends, but now I have better friends, more real friends, because I'm myself and because I do not judge them and they do not judge me, which is very, very important. Even if I was still judging myself, and sometimes I still judge myself, but they're not judging me and I do not judge them.
And probably they might have some judgments about you, but you understand now that those judgments are not real because they are only thoughts. So we start taking our thoughts less seriously when we play, because we understand that our thoughts are just one part of who we are, but it's not everything, you know. But also something I want to add about what you were saying. You were breaking the rules. If I understand, you said you were breaking the rules just to break them. I think this is great because then we learn that I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to or because they told me to do it. Does it fit with me or doesn't fit with me? Because I have broken some rules that I did it because I'm a I have a rebel nature, you know, and I don't mean any harm to anyone. I broke some rules, and then I realized actually I don't like breaking this rule because my core values doesn't align with the thing I did by breaking the rule. So
but
it has become more
that
like
yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I am my own. What you say, brújula in English? My the thing that has north, east, west.
Compass.
Yeah, I'm my own compass. So I'm gonna break this rule. Will I feel better afterwards? I'm gonna do, I don't even think anymore about breaking rules. If I take this action, will I feel good? Yes, by all means. No, because then I will be worried for 3 days because it doesn't fit my core values. Then I don't do it, you know? I become my own compass, and this is important. But something I wanted to say is that some people do well, how some people, they don't break the rules. Because fear keep us where we are, and fear it's an old friend that when we make peace with it, then we feel more empowered to do things. But so many people, they don't do things because they are scared, and I have compassion from them because I understand how scared it can be to break our own ideas of how we need to live. No, let's not even think about the rules that society put us. It's about like this, the fear of doing something I don't know if somebody else did before. You know, I don't know if it's allowed for me to do it. And then it's like, the jump is, am I allowing myself to do this? And sometimes, no, sometimes the fear says, no, I'm not allowed, you know? And when we make peace with fear, and it takes years as well, and we feel more like, I'm going to do it anyway. The fear seems big. I'm going to do it anyway. So the fear starts being small, small, small. So we do more and more stuff. But this step into, I'm scared to do this, and doing it, it's a big step. So I feel compassion for those who cannot do it, but I want to tell them, if they are listening, that you can do it.
Hey, you and I are proof.
Liberating.
There are two people in this call who are proof that we can do it.
Yeah.
So if you can do it, and they can do it too.
It's liberating, but I understand how scary it can be to just do it. And that's why good friends, authentic friends, people that really love you, to have them around us is important, because normally they will realize that you really want to do something, and they will encourage you. They will hold space for you. And that's important to have, you know? People that will hold space, that will tell you, you know, I know you are scared, but you can do it. I believe in you, and I will be along the way with you, you know. I'm not going to do it for you because then you won't learn, but I will be holding space for you. Yeah, I think, yes, this is.
Yeah.
And every time, you know, every time we jump and do something for that, the fear was that we were holding back ourselves, we discover a new depth in ourselves, a new depth in how joyful we can be, a new depth in how the amazing things you can create for your life, being more playful. Yeah.
What many people don't realize is that the energy of fear is restrictive, constrictive. It makes us shrink, become completely like this out of fear. Even if we're not seeing it physically, we can feel it in our bodies. And I can feel when I'm really joyful, when I'm happy, or when I feel love for somebody or for something, I feel the expansion. I have space to actually breathe and to move. And I'm sometimes so astonished when I see people being scared of things that I cannot even imagine anymore how it is to be scared about certain things. But then I remember, like, yeah, wait. For example, somebody is 15 years younger than me. I'm like, oh yeah, wait, how was I 15 years ago? Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And by nature, I'm very much encouraging people. Like, hey, you can do it. You can do it. Because I can also see the potential in people. Sometimes I really had to learn this. When I meet someone, I can immediately see all their potential. But then I used to take a step back and see who they are today in this moment, not what they can be. And so I would be disappointed, like, come on, why are you doing this? But I would be seeing all the potential. And then when I would realize, I would, okay. And then I would start to encourage them, and then would see how they would actually raise their vibration and actually start to do things they didn't dare to do before, because there's somebody who's supporting them. And that's what I've been experiencing myself. They have been supporting me no matter what I was doing. I said to me, his wife was like, oh, you're crazy. When I decided to move from Amsterdam to Romania, she was freaking out, like, oh, how can you do that? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that and that and that and that? And I was like, fuck off. And her husband looked at me and said, Lotfi, it freaks me out to do what you're doing, but I wish you all the luck and all the joy. I really appreciated that. He, at least, he was on the point, like, okay, I don't have the courage to do this, but if he has the courage, I will support him. And he did support me. He did help me with moving and stuff like that. And
yeah,
this is what we need. We don't need to agree with what somebody is doing. We don't need to love or to be wanting to do the same. But if that's what we want, hold space, like you were saying. Hold the space for them. Let them do it. And just be also, there. Call. Be there.
Yeah. That's true. Also, sometimes when we do something and somebody criticizes us or judges us, you know, you are crazy to do this. How I see it right now, it's giving me an opportunity to see the part of me that think the same, you know, because before I will be like, oh, you are bad, you are not my friend, and blah blah blah. It's like, why you don't support me, you know, all the dramas of the mind, why you don't support me if you know I can do it. And now when somebody says this, I'm like, is there a part of me inside that thinks the same, you know? And when I and then it gives me an opportunity to work on this part. Okay, I really want to do it, but yes, it's true. Maybe it's a crazy idea. What can I put on place so that I feel more confident to do it? I think this is, you know. Yeah, because I don't remember who, somebody judged something about my, I was wearing something, I don't remember right now, but yesterday somebody said, oh, look at you. And I'm like, actually, there is a part of me that thinks the same. That this person is telling me. Is this part of me too big so that I cannot function normally? No, it's not big, because to be honest, I don't care. It was something minimal, like maybe the jumper, the shirt was there. I don't remember right now what was it, but there was a part of me that thought the same. And by embracing it, I could look at this person and say, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, cool, you're right. I will see what I do. Because sometimes we think it's only one way, and we forget that there are so many parts of ourselves that don't agree. Because sometimes my inner child doesn't agree with my teenager child, and all the only thing my inner child wants is my adult side, my adult part. Yeah, so, and sometimes the stressful part of me takes over. So I think it's bringing more consciousness and awareness. And every time someone says something, it, I don't want to and take ownership. I think that this person, who can I ask for help? Who can empower me? Who will empower me enough to be like, that doesn't matter. Look, if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. How can you, what can you do so that the part that matters, it's bigger, you know? Which is coming back to fear, that what's happened with fear. Sometimes fear is so big, we cannot see. But when we say, okay, but I really want to do this, how can I make it bigger than the fear by doing it, yeah? But what can I put in place so that when, what can I do in place so that when I do this, I feel empowered? And sometimes the answer is to have a therapist, to have a coach, to have a time to reflect, to have good friends. For me, I have my own coaches that help me be more playful because this is what I want. So I have a support system and I have good friends that think like that we see life very similar. So I know that when I'm struggling, I either go to my coach or I go to my friend that will ask me the right questions.
It's very nice that you say this because it's one of the things that I'm saying a lot now recently to people, that it's important to have somebody that you can go to get some feedback, to get a new perspective, or to get challenged in your beliefs. And if you look at the people who are very successful, I mean, let's say that everyone can agree on they're very successful, an Elon Musk, a Richard Branson, people who are up there. If you look carefully, you see that they all have at least one coach and or a mentor. And they may change throughout time, but if you sit with these people and you talk with them, they will tell you that in a certain phase in their lives, they had this mentor who was reflecting to them what they needed to see so they could grow in whatever area they were busy with. And I experienced that myself. I had a mentor for 10 years and he was straightforward. If I would say something with a Lotfi, that's bullshit, like puff. And he would tell me what he would see. And actually it's through him that I learned to challenge myself, and that I got to the point also with my intuition developing further, that now when I feel something and I feel it strong, I jump in, both feet. Yeah. I stop thinking about what if, I just check a little bit and then I just jump. And it's like in one of the books of Richard Branson, he says, they call him Mr. Yes in the meetings, because when somebody comes with a great idea, he says, okay, he says yes. And he recommends to, when somebody comes with a great opportunity to you, just say yes, and you'll figure out later how to do it.
Okay.
Because if we try to figure out before, we end up never doing anything because we're waiting for the right moment to be ready, whatever that means, and we don't move forward. So we stay where we are. We are stagnant, trying to prepare for something new while staying in the old.
Yeah.
And so this is a service that I'm offering to people, aside from coaching people, helping them with their trauma. And I'm picking out the moment because I realized I didn't get to introduce myself, helping them deal with their youth trauma, whether it's been regular trauma or sexual trauma. I'm also specialized in this area of sexual trauma and wounds, and I'm adding to that now also sexual harassment, which is really a thing at this moment in Holland. I mean, we had the hashtag Me Too in America, and now in Europe things are coming up, and it's underestimated the gravity and also the impact on the people, not only women, also on men, the sexual harassment, because you didn't get raped, so it's okay. I got sexually assaulted when I was 7 years old, but I was not raped, so I always thought that I was lucky, nothing happened. But the let's say the little thing in comparison to, and I'm not sure you can really compare, did have a huge impact on my life. And so I understand when people do experience things, and I didn't have the courage to talk about it until the age of 40. So for 33 years, I kept my mouth shut about it. And so I'm now creating a space where people, whether it be women or men, can safely talk about it, because maybe on the work floor you cannot talk, you don't feel safe in the company. But as I have a background in HR as well, I can help also these people in practical ways how to manage it in your daily life, not just on the emotional side, working on yourself, healing the wound, seeing why maybe you attracted something in your life, but also what can you practically do about it? What are your options? Because often people don't see the options. Like, the option is to leave, but then I don't have an income, but my kids need to eat. So then yeah. They're like, I have no option. No, maybe there are other options. And I also want to focus, and that's my next step, is focus on the education part, educating the youth. Because I was triggered last Monday. I love football, my favorite football team. There is this technical director who is responsible almost by himself for the success of the last 10 years. But he has been approaching female colleagues in an appropriate way, and that created a whole scandal, and now he left.
Okay.
But he's an old player himself. And apparently there are also players from the team who also have been behaving in a certain way, like just going to a secretary and say, hey, let's go get a room. Out of the blue. And I know where it's coming from, because they're still 16-year-olds. When we were 16, we had all this sexual energy in us, and we wanted to fuck. We wanted to have sex, because everything in us was like, have sex, have sex, have sex. And here, there was a mess up here. It was all coming from the hormones. But if you have nobody who teaches you actually how to channel that energy, how to actually approach a woman or a man that you feel attracted to, then you just behave with whatever comes up. And if you put a whole bunch of these adolescents together, they start to pump up each other. And that's how, at a certain moment, somebody goes and tells a girl something that doesn't make sense to say it. Like this guy who went to a secretary and said, hey, let's go get a room. Don't do that. But what they're missing is an example of a masculine who actually teaches them how to be a man. Or for the women, or the feminine, to teach them how to be a woman. Because women are also playing with sex a lot. They, for example, there are many women who dress very sexy, so they get what they want in the work floor or from customers and stuff like that. They're also playing and manipulating. It's on both sides. There's the imbalance, because there's no balance on the inside, because we don't know, we were not taught how to channel our energies, how to let our true masculine come up, how to let our true feminine come up, which we both have within us. And so there's the imbalance, and there's acting out of hunger or out of fear that if I don't do anything now, I will not get anything, or I will be in lack of I do not do this, or if I do not follow the example of that guy, because, oh, he has all the women. So what is he doing? Okay, I should copy him. I should have, we say in Dutch, a smooth talk. It means you talk very smooth and you're very slick. But is that really what people want? Is that really going to get you somewhere? No, I tried that. I had a friend who was this example of getting all the women he wanted, and he was in a relationship, but still he had this whole harem around him. And I thought it was cool, because that is what you think is cool when you're an adolescent. But then my mentor was showing me the opposite. He was showing me that, yeah, it's fine to have sex. It's okay to have a girlfriend. It's okay to do these things, but do it from a different energy. And that is where I want to focus on now, to go there where are the, let's say, football clubs, because football clubs, you see this more, because they grow up in age, but they're still 16-year-olds, but then they have money and the fame. And that's when you see more stuff happening, more craziness coming, because suddenly they have the tools, as a 16-year-old, you don't have the courage to do it. Yeah. So that is an area where I'm going to focus on also to educate and prevent, because you can put rules and laws and stuff, but that's not solving the problem. That's just trying to change the situation by instigating fear. Like, if you do that, you will be punished. No, make people live from here.
Yeah, I think with what you are saying, in my opinion, it's more about teaching the young generation to be more confident and to be more okay with themselves. Because when you tell me, oh, women, they don't learn how to be women. Well, and how is to be women, you know? Whether if I am more confident about who I am, whether I'm 12, 13, 14, 16, and I know that by not sleeping with that guy or that woman or that person, I'm not missing anything. That's the point, you know. That I think that's what we are missing in society. Many people, they use sex as a business, as an exchange, as a currency, especially where I am. I grew up in a very Chauvinist society. And right now I am in a very Chauvinist society. So I can see how sex, it's a currency, but also how there are so many manipulations around it, how the guys talk to women so they get what they want. You know how women, they move, you know, so. But I think ultimately the situation, in my opinion, it's the confidence and the connection with itself, as you are saying. But it's the confidence to know that I won't lose anything if I don't sleep with them. Or I won't lose anything if I tell them, actually, this is not something I want for my life. You know?
It's so beautiful how you're formulated.
But then it comes back to myself. It comes back to what are my core values? Because probably I like having sex. This is the first time I said this publicly. Oh, and I'm sure many people are like I like having sex, but I am not interested in having sex with anyone. I know many people like to have sex with anyone, and that's good for them. For me, it's like I want to have sex, but I don't want to have sex with anyone. But it has more to do with me to feel confident to not just have sex with whoever comes to offer me, but to stop and say who I want to have sex with, you know, even and how
what
can I make it
you?
Happen? Yeah, how can I make it so that's not a currency? Who can I engage with? Then it goes a bit deeper. Who can I engage with in the society I am right now so that sex don't become our currency, but we can have something healthy within the realm of healthiness. So I think it's more about what you are saying. It's coming back to ourselves. And how can we teach this to the young generations that, as you said, they have all the hormones, the testosterone, they are like 16, they want to have sex. How can I teach the younger generation that go and have it, but have it with consciousness, you know? Go and do it, but do it from a place where you don't feel someone took something from you afterwards.
Yes, that's... I mean, we can have a whole video on that, but I want to point out something you said. I realized it now. A few years ago, I started working on my masculinity. And because I knew about the existence of sacred masculine, sacred feminine, but I could not say, not find what real masculine is or what sacred masculine is. I had no clue. I could not find the words. I could not... and find the idea, and it was so frustrating.
Neither do I.
A course with somebody on that, and still I was like, and now I connect the dots, and it is about the self-confidence, because everything I learned in the last few years since I just started doing that course and start focusing on it was only to accept myself.
Yeah.
And from there to be self-confident and just listen to what I feel. And I know that that is how now I'm more man than I ever was before.
Yes, I believe so, yes.
There has not been a period in my life where I had had so little sex since the age of 21, since I moved out, as I had in the last few years, but I have become more of a man.
Yeah.
And I don't need to have sex to be a man. No, I'm a man from within.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can approach different kind of women and also in a different way. And I also meet a different kind of women. I mean, who are more in their feminine, who are more grounded as well, who are also more self-confident. And if there are things that they're not confident about, around me, they suddenly feel confident. Because I do not judge them. I just let them be with about. Just like I allow myself to like, oh, okay, I don't like this thing about me or that thing. Yeah, okay, it is what it is. Somebody's gonna like or put on my elbow. Yeah, screw it. Then that person doesn't be in my energy field anyway.
Yes, I think is that it's not about the actions we do, and we have been talking about this. Yeah? It's not about the actions we do that make us feel more masculine or more feminine. It's more how we feel about ourselves. And you were saying about self-confidence, and I want to say how to be more self-confident or how to have more confidence in ourselves. It's about just doing the things you want to do. Start by doing. Start by pushing ourselves, just push yourself as much as you can. If it's little, it doesn't matter. It will grow. But it's about pushing ourselves to do what we want to do. That's how we find confidence. And then it's about reflecting. Does this make me feel more confident? No. Then I won't do it again. Does this make me feel confident? Oh my God, yes. Then how can I recreate this feeling again? And this, coming back to playfulness, this help us be more play. When you step and do whatever you want to do, that's you being more playful in your life. That's you getting out of that little box that society put us and that we ourselves put ourselves with our limiting belief. So it's about that. It's that gives us confidence to get out of that little box in all the ways. And then, you know, yes, I hear about sacred femininity and secret masculinity. I respect everything and the way people say it. For me, it doesn't. I don't want to have sacred femininity. I don't want to be a sacred.
It's funny. I need to interrupt you. You said secret masculinity, not sacred. Secret, and that's it's funny because it is a secret. Yeah, it has been kept secret. How to be in the true and in this, when we say sacred, it's not about the blah 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 spirituality, but it's about the true masculinity.
Yes, that's what I
femininity. So you misspelling it and saying secret. It has been kept a secret for millennia.
No, actually, I was saying it was my accent, sacred.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But
it has been secret.
It's no coincidence because it's been kept secret. If you look at religion, they destroy everything that's related to masculinity and femininity. They destroy it. It's like it's all bad. Because the true power is in there when you embrace who you truly are from the inside. And some people are like, okay, but what does it mean? I can give a simple example that feminine is about holding space. It's about kind of gentleness and warmth. And the masculine is about also holding space, but then from the strength and the protective. For these are just cliche examples, but we have all these within us. And even when we interact with ourselves, we can use them. like we can go in the feminine for ourselves when we feel the sadness, because we can hold space for ourselves to just be sad in that moment. And we can use our masculine when we want to take action, because then we step into the masculine and then we go and we do the thing we want to do. And we play the two. And they can be even there at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I see that in my interaction with my friends, for example, how it's going, how I go from one energy to the other, and how they're also shifting energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say that I have 4% of battery.
Okay, we're already talking for more than an hour, so it's okay. We can.
But
I feel that.
But I want to say something before. I just want to say something about what you are saying, because people like you, for example, you are a sex coach, so people like you will be very good to guide people into like what's masculine energy, what's feminine energy, and how to deal with this, and how to take them into their life. For me, I try to be more simple, and like, regardless if this part is feminine or this part is masculine, what I do, just because for me it's more about playfulness than anything else, is how can I embody this energy. How can I, because I feel sexy, you know, when I dress nicely, I feel sexy, but sometimes I feel sexy. And so, you know, one guy told me once, you can dress with a tent, you will be sexy anyway.
It's about the energy.
And for me, this was like, oh my God, thank you. Because sometimes I don't have the good clothes and I don't feel like my best day. But I know I'm still sexy. Why? Because I have embodied and I have embraced that energy within me. And this is playful. This is being playful with myself. Not to deny that I have a sexy energy, but also I have a very straightforward energy. It's more about how can I leave them the best I can with whatever I have right now. And then I am feminine and I'm masculine. It's okay because I'm being myself, you know? But yes, I understand. So many people, especially men, they don't want to cry because it's not feminine. Because it's feminine. Another idea that the society gives us, you know? And I feel like whatever, the more free we are, the more we can express ourselves, the more it's the masculine comes, the more the feminine comes.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Nelson Mandela did cry on camera. And Nelson Mandela was a big guy. He led the whole country, but he did cry sometimes on camera. He didn't care. So it's bullshit. But it's the indoctrination and the stuff. But let's come to a closure now before you drop off the call. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing this moment and for all your insights, because we covered a lot and I'm sure people really enjoyed this, and more people were watching the replay. I saw the webinar, and I feel that there is more to come. That this was our first, but I feel there is more to come, but we'll discuss that later.
Okay, great.
Thank everyone for watching. If people have questions, please put them in the comments. We will answer them, and I will make sure that in the comments are the links on how people can reach the two of us if they have questions, or if they want to work with us, or see more of what we publish and get inspired.
Thank you. Yes, thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the beautiful you. Weather on the beautiful island.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, actually, I'm gonna go and buy some food. Now, after this,
enjoy that.
I'm gonna go and buy some food. Yes, yeah, thank you. So, bye. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for watching.
Bye, everyone.